Amen. It's good. I don't know, ladies, how you do it with the talking and the fellowship last night. It was like I would poop out if I you're just all that's awesome. So I'm glad you have so much good fellowship and So anyway, guys, I know some guys are gone tonight, but you know, maybe we can get together and get a men's group thing again. We haven't done it for a long time. We'll get some jammies and eat bonbons and paint our toenails and. Okay, no. We'll just have a big steak. How's that sound? And we'll, yeah. So anyway, I'm kidding. So I'm getting some weird looks. Like, no, we're not going to do that. So amen. But thank you, ladies, for coming out. It was great. I hope you got blessed by it. And amen. Praise God. Well, thank you, Mr. Gary, too, for last week when I was gone. You preached. I heard it was awesome. So thank you. He always does a great job, and what a blessing. Amen. Well, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. We're going to talk about abiding in Him. It's very important because if we're not abiding in Him, there's a lot of things that are going to go south on us. It can be very frustrating. Right? You're not going to be, bless you, you're not going to be able to be led by the Spirit. You're not going to be able to hear from God if you're not abiding in Him. There's so many things that are interrelated to abiding in Him. See, the denomination, the religious folks, they want to just, and again, we're not getting away from the Word. Hello? But often, you know, when you can read the Bible and you're not experiencing anything, and then you begin to create your own doctrine, right? Like, well, God doesn't do this today. Heard that before? Right? Well, it's not God's will. Well, it's not this and it's not that. No, the problem is you're not abiding in Him is one problem, right? You can say some religious prayer all day long, but you're not going to connect with Him. You have to abide in Him. And again, a lot of the denominational realm, they want to have the blessings, but they don't understand the pre-qualification, right? For example, when we talk about prayer often in a religious setting, you know, they say, well, let's just pray. About what? How? You know, what am I supposed to, are we praying for healing? You know, I grew up in a church, and everybody was like, well, you know, we're going to have, you know, special unspoken requests. And I'm like, back then, you know, okay. But the Bible says, make your request be known unto God, right? So if you don't request anything, you don't know if you got it. You don't know if your prayer is answered. So again, we have all these religious mindsets, and we think that, you know, we're just going to, let me just say this, the Bible was given to us so we can connect with God. It's not to be worshipped. All right, I know that's going to throw some religious folks they're going to have a cow over this stuff, but the point is that the Bible is a tool for us to connect with God. I'm never going to get outside of anything unbiblical, obviously. That is our format. That is what we adhere to. But Jesus said, told the woman of the well, the what? The Word and the what? Spirit. Talked about both of them together. And we can't separate those things. We got to keep them together. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, we'll start there, and it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, okay? So it doesn't mean we're scared of God, but what it means is we honor, we reverence Him. You know, when you fear or honor someone, you're going to listen to their words, right? There are just some people on TV, I don't fear and I don't honor them at all, right? I have anything they say, I just will ignore. Just some people. Some people I do esteem. Right? No, it doesn't mean I'm rude to people and mean, and no, we're not talking about that. And then it goes on and it says, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So where does knowledge come from? Where does wisdom come from? It comes from the Lord. He's the source of wisdom. He's the source of knowledge. John chapter 1, verse 1. So first of all, we know the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom or knowledge, right? and then fools despise wisdom and instruction. Well, again, they're despising God. They're despising the Lord. John chapter 1, verse 1, and it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Well, who's the Word? Jesus. Because he said there what? He said, "I am the what? The way, the truth, and the life," right? "No man cometh to the Father but by me." What's the truth? The Word. And then he says, verse 2, "And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Sorry, guys, I'm King Jamie-ish. Sorry about that. I'm King Jimmy, you know. But we're going to get into some of the translations, so we'll give you a break here. "And in him was life, and the life was the light of men." So we know everything began with him, didn't it? And he is the source of life. So he's the one we're going to have to connect with. If we're going to need answers, we're going to need anything. Acts chapter 17, verse 28. We're going to kind of go along here. We're moving along, right? Because we have brownies and ice cream, too. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Well, not kidding, but, you know. I mean, that's important, too, right? Acts 17, 28 says, "For in him we live and move and have our being." You're in trouble if you're trying to do it outside of him, right? "As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring." But the focus I want to get to is, "For in him we live and move and have our being." So, first of all, the beginning of wisdom is having a fear of the Lord, right? Then we move on and we see that everything was created by God. He is a source of life and he's a source of knowledge. So it's probably a pretty good person to tap into, right? Then we see here, we live and have and move our being in him. So I would like to say this. I can't get up in the morning without, I mean, it's him. Even the heathens out there. It says, the rain it rains on the just and the unjust. I mean, God still is merciful in this time period, in this dispensation. Even heathens, you know, have opportunity. God even provides for the heathens. I mean, if he's providing for the birds, then that means he's providing for us, right? So he is the source of life. He's the source of provision. He's the source of all of these things. Genesis chapter 1. I'm going somewhere. So Genesis chapter 1. Verse 26 and 27. So who, I mean, this is not, definitely not an exhaustive list of who God is or anything even near, but again, he provides, he has wisdom, he gives us natural resources, he gives us all he has, he provides us with life, everything comes from him. And in verse 26 and 27, This gives us a lot here to kind of base some things off of as we move forward. It says, "And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness." What was he talking about? Well, the Trinity, right? They're sitting there. And then it says, "And let us have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over creeping things that creeps upon the earth," right? So ladies, you have authority over creeps, right? Isn't that cool? All right. Authority over creeps, man. And then in verse 27, "So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them." There's only two genders in there. That's weird. You know, the interesting thing is within this first chapter of Genesis, and I read within the first chapter, couple of chapters, there is a lifetime of study. I've read about Hebrew rabbis, and they talk about just the years of labor they have just within the first couple of chapters, and especially verses 1 through 3. That is so much meat and potatoes in there. It's incredible. But we see here that we're made after image of God. You want to know what God's like, what he likes and dislikes? He's like us. He made us. And that's important to understand. Like, I wonder what God's like. Well, look in the mirror, okay? I mean, he looks a whole lot better than I do, but I'm just saying that we are created in his image and for his likeness, right? It doesn't mean we're God, but what it does mean is we are the things that, again, that we sense, he senses those things too, because we're made after his image and after his likeness. Genesis 2:18, so we just look the next chapter here. Now, I'm kind of bouncing around here real quick because I want to move, I want to get to a point tonight. But Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Now, again, I haven't forgotten, we are talking about abiding in, but verse 18, this is where, I'll just read it. And the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone, and I will make him a helpmate for him. So the Lord realized that what? Mankind, remember now, Genesis chapter 1, that we were made in his image, right? He realized that we need fellowship. It's important to us. We're wired that way, right? We need fellowship. We need to have communion with somebody. Verse 23, it says, and Adam said, this is now talking about Eve, but he says, this is my bone of my bones, my flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. They were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Now, there's so much here, and I don't have time to go over, but there's so much revelation in this portion of Scripture. So God saw that mankind needed fellowship. Why? Because we're made in his image. He needs fellowship. We need fellowship. And here's the thing. They were naked, and the man and wife, and they were not ashamed. Why is that? Because they had the glory on him. They had the presence on him. This is pre-sin. Skip down to Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. And it says, and the eyes of them, talking about Adam and Eve, were both where they were opened. This is when they sinned, okay? And they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. So again, there's multiple, many people have taught about different things, but I'm going to give this your consideration tonight. Did they break union with God at that point? See, let me just say this. Turn to Psalms 91 while I'm kind of going over some points here. Psalms 91 is very important. They were abiding with him. And they broke that fellowship with him, right? We're going to see in Psalms 91. See, we rattle Psalms 91. Now, people will rattle off the Lord's Prayer. They'll rattle off Psalms 91, and we never dig into these things. We never really talk about these things. It's just something we rattle off. And I'm going to come back to this, but I think we need to make a detour to Psalms 91. Psalms 91 says this. Here we go. Now keep what we just talked about in mind in relation to Psalm 91. Verse 1, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. What do you think happened on the day when they sinned? They were naked, right? Well, they were naked before, right? Well, they were always naked. But they felt shame. What happened on that shame? That shadow was gone of the Almighty. They were exposed. Sin entered in. Mm-hmm. See, Psalms 91, this first part, we're going to read it, but there are qualifications for Psalms 91. First part of this chapter and the last part of this chapter are extremely important. That's our job, okay? It's what we need to do. See, there's always, let me just say this, religious folks, everything's God, right? Religious mindset says, well, it's God's will, it's God's this, and it's God's this. It's wrong. The Bible has a God side and a man side. God is always going to keep up his end of the deal. What happens is man fails and we blame it on God because we're lazy, we're religiously brainwashed into thinking that God's just going to do everything. Well, he's not. Adam and Eve, they messed up in the Garden of Eden. It wasn't God's fault. He didn't mess up. See, there's a God side and there's a man side. Remember, when we get out of that, and then what happens is we come to this religious mindset to think, well, God, it's all God's, it's all God's fault. Well, God had a plan, God had a purpose. I remember as a kid, I'd be on the phone with some of my relatives when I was younger, teenager, high school. You're talking like this to a... have a Marlboro hanging out their mouth, you know, talking to me while they're swearing and smoking and they're drinking, you know, everything else too. And then they die of cancer. Well, that's God's will. No, you smoke like a chimney, right? You know, and then we got these religious folks that want to get out there. Well, it's just God's will. No, they drank like a fish and they smoke like a chimney and they paid the price, right? You do dumb stuff, you get dumb prizes. Hello, right? Am I right or am I right? Right? And then what happens is religious, well, just, you know, or people get drunk and they get killed in a car accident. Well, just God's will. No, they got drunk and they did something illegal and they did something stupid. And then therefore, we got the consequences. Same here with Psalms 91. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High, here we go, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. If you don't abide with him, you don't dwell in the shadow of the Almighty. Okay? The rest of this chapter doesn't belong to you if you don't abide in the Almighty. Hello? Right? Didn't he just say that? See, but we don't do what we're supposed to do, and then we expect the results, and it won't happen. And then what do? We blame God, and we get mad, and we just, you know, create our own doctrines and everything else too. No, it says right here that we have to abide in the Almighty. Verse 2, I will save the Lord. Here we go. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. And what? In him will I trust. Oh yeah, you're going to trust him when everything goes south? Everything looks bad? Everything looks awful? Like the last 2 or 3 years? Right? The Lord spoke to me to do some things, and it felt very uncomfortable. Guys, we had a great building before, didn't we? It was beautiful. Right? Yeah. And I have no idea, but again, I'm going to trust him. Not what I feel like or what I'm looking. I'm going to trust him even when everything seems like it's falling apart. All right, I digress. Here we go. Verse 3. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowl and from the noise of the pestilence. Okay, I'm going to skip down to the Living Bible. Now, remember, we said the first verse, what does it say? It says we live within the shadow of the Almighty, sheltered. I'm reading the Living Bible here. Sheltered by the God who is above all gods. Okay? So first of all, we need to abide with him. What does that mean? We fellowship with him, right? We talk with him. We read his word. We are abiding, and we're going to talk about abiding here in a minute. But there's so much stuff here that you got to break down and look at and say, all right, what is really the Lord saying here? Verse 2, Living Bible. This I declare, that he alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I am trusting him. For he rescues you from every trap and protects you from the fatal plague. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He will shield you with his wings. They will shelter you. His faithful promises are your armor. Now you don't need to be afraid of the dark anymore, nor fear the dangers of the day, nor dread the plagues of darkness, nor disasters in the morning. Why? Because we're abiding in him. Right? See, everything in the Word, guys, we've got to qualify for things. Oh, Pastor Brent, that's just works. No, it isn't. Like, for example, if you're born again, Romans 10, 9, and 10 says, you got to open your mouth and you got to say something. Mm-hmm. Christianity is not osmosis, right? We're just like, well, I'm just going to think happy thoughts. Right? I don't know how come we think that in Christianity we just get lazy sometimes, you know? We just, you know, somebody else is going to do it. Verse 7, though 1,000 fall at my side, though 10,000 are dying around me, the evil will not touch me. I will see how the wicked are punished, but I will not share it. For Jehovah is my refuge. I choose the God above all gods to shelter me. Then, how then can evil overtake me or any plague come near me? For he orders his angels to protect you wherever you go. Oh, that's pretty cool, guys. Mm-hmm. I want angels protecting me, don't you?
Amen.
Hello? That's nice. Or your kids. Mm-hmm. That's always helpful. And then, verse 12, they will steady you with their hands to keep you from stumbling against the rocks on the trail. You can safely meet a lion or step on a poisonous snake. Yes, even trample them beneath your feet. Okay, guys, we were talking about snakes at lunch, right? So he's going to protect us from snakes, right? I was telling him a story about my grandpa. He was under patent in World War II. He was in North Africa. And anyway, he told me all kinds of crazy stories. But he was walking through the jungle in North Africa one time. And he said, he smoked and all kinds of stuff. But he was kind of a rough character. But he was like, yeah, I stepped over this log. It was this big round kid. He was called me kid. Brian and I kid. About this big. And then I stepped over. And when I stopped, that thing was crawling between my legs. So he stepped over a snake about this big around. He goes, it's bigger than a log, biggest log I saw. And so anyway, we were talking about I'd be out mushroom hunting. The girls asked me if I took a gun mushroom hunting. I said, no, I don't take a gun mushroom hunting. You just pick him up. But he just hated snakes, right? He couldn't stand snakes. Well, this scripture tells us that we're protected from them. Amen. And there's other scriptures too. But verse 14, this is good. Now, here we go. This is God's side, right? Remember I said man's side and God's side, okay? So first verse, it's our side. What is it? Guys, all we got to do is abide with him, all right? Here we go. Verse 14, for the Lord says, this is what God says. He's like, God is saying this now. He says, because he loves me. Talking about you and I, when we fellowship with him, because of our love for him, because of our abiding in him, our loving him, I will rescue him. It doesn't say maybe, right? If it's God's will. No, it is his will. We know that. And then it goes on and says, and I will make him great because he trusts in my name. You know he's going to make you great, right? That's what it says right here. When he calls on me, I will answer. Have you ever had people before? I just feel like I'm calling on God and I'm praying and he's nowhere. He's not even listening. No, he's listening according to the scripture. I will be with him in trouble and rescue him and honor him. I will satisfy him with a full life and give him salvation. Yeah. See, we rattle this thing off. People say, well, with long life, he'll satisfy me. Wrong. Again, it's wrong. If we abide in him. Hello? What does abiding in him mean? It means obeying him. It means trusting him. It means walking with him. Let me just say this too. What is abiding? I've got a abiding is to live with, dwell. Can I just say something too? You know, homeless people. I mean, Adrian and I ministered to homeless people over the years. And homeless people, or even if you're on vacation, what do you say? People say, where are you? Well, I'm staying down here, right? Right? I'm staying over here, right? I'm staying at the hotel up the road there, right? You're like, maybe you're out on vacation or you're doing something. You know, we went to, we were out South Dakota last year. We decided to go to Mount Rushmore and stuff. And that was fun. You go to restaurants. Like, because you're there at Mount Rushmore in the town, everybody's from out of town, right? I mean, there's no locals there. Hello? You know, I mean, you go to Mount Rushmore and you eat there, the restaurant and everything. What are they? I'll say, oh, where are you folks from? Where are you staying? Right? I don't live here. I'm just staying here. But where I live all the time, that's where I live. Because if I say, yeah, well, we're living up here in this hotel here, people are thinking, are they homeless? Are they? Because that doesn't denote permanent, does it? But when I say, dwell, live. That's where my home's at. And that's where my heart's at, right? That's where all the laughing, all the crying, all the stuff goes on, right? That's where life happens. When we abide with God, guess what? That's where my life happens right there. And when I abide in him, right? What does abide? It just means that we dwell. See, the covenant is a great, it's called the Great Exchange. Tuesday's Adrian's birthday. Wednesday's our anniversary, and I and tell the story. So it's our wedding day, right? We're standing there. Her grandpa is marrying us. And the look on her face was pain. Okay, I didn't know this at the time, right? And the whole time I'm going, oh, dear Lord, is she not wanting to marry me? Oh, Lord. Because like the whole time she's going, like, really weird look on her face. And I thought, okay, this woman needs to tell me something right now, right? So we're all done, okay? The wedding's done and everything, and we're like, you know, shaking hands and with people and, you know, like, ah. And then so we get a few minutes. I go, what is wrong with you? She's like, I can't feel my feet. They hurt.
I wore heels.
She wore heels, and I thought, and I the whole time I was like, oh, my goodness. Is this like, what is going on with this woman? So anyway, but a covenant is an exchange. It's called, you know, it's like, you know, when you get married, husbands, you know, ladies, what's yours is yours, and what's, you know, your husband's is yours, and what's mine is hers, and what's hers is hers, right? So, I'm kidding. But the first part of Psalm 91 is we're abiding in him, right? Abiding means we live, we dwell in him. Where every ounce of our being is, we are God. There's a fellowship there. There's a fellowship. Chapter 3, verse 7, and I'm kind of going back to what we talked about earlier, and we're going to wrap this thing up here because we've got brownies and ice cream. I know that. Hallelujah. Chapter 3, verse 7, and I'm going to move here quick. Genesis chapter 3, verse 7, and it says, and the eyes, we just read this, but we're going to go on here far. This is very important here. The eyes of them were opened, again, after they sinned, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and they made themselves aprons. Verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden of the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. In verse 9, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said, where are you? See, Adam and Eve walked away from the shadow of the Almighty, didn't they, when they sinned that day? Mm-hmm. Okay? That covering, that glory, that presence was now gone. And you know what? God is still faithful to show up even though they missed the mark. Yeah. God, yeah. The Father was still hungry for the abiding. God, the Father, now, you know, he says, now where are you? Now God isn't doing the whole like, I don't know where you guys are at. What happened here, right? Because when the kids were little, you know, and there's colors on the wall and, you know, whatever kind of weird stuff. I didn't walk in and go, Adrian, did you do this? You know, I knew exactly what happened. I didn't need anybody to tell me. Same with God. God didn't go around and go, I need an investigation. I need to find out what's going on here. You call the FBI. Find out what's going on, right? No, we don't do that. But what he knew was going on, it was a rhetorical question because he wanted them to tell him. It's like we have, you know, when you got kids, the little kids and stuff, and there's a mess in here, and he's like, or something happened. You know, toys are broke, or, you know, there's mess or something dumped on the counter. What happened here? You want them to tell you, right? I don't know. Dad did it, probably. I don't know, right? I don't know. Maybe Mom did it. Nah, I don't think so, kid. Sorry. Try that again. So again, Adam and Eve lived under the shadow of the Almighty before the fall, and when they sinned, they stepped out of the shadow of the Most High, right? And let's just say this. When we're talking about fellowship with him, abiding in him, God doesn't care about your schedule. Right? Well, I've got God penciled in here and here, and I've got this to do, and I've got this to do. I got to read this book, and I got to do this, and then I have to read this, and I have to read this, and I have to read this, and I have to do this, and blah, blah, blah. No, doesn't care. Right? Some of the most the most amazing experiences I've had, I just set my agenda. I just forget it all. I will spend hours and hours in prayer. The more I abide in him, the more he shares with me, the more he things happen in my life. Brother Hagin said, perfect, Kenneth Hagin said, he's like, the gateway to the supernatural is praying in tongues. What is that? Spending time with him and abiding in him. We all want a shortcut, right? We always want to, I want to have this praise session over here. I'm going to do this thing over here that I want to do, or I'm going to have this special Bible study, or I'm going to do this special thing over here. And it's like, it just comes down to spending time with him. I'm sorry. That's why, see, and we don't have time to go there tonight, but Jesus said, I don't do anything or say anything apart from what the Father says. Why? Because he knew there was power and there was authority and there were things abiding in the Father. And that's why he said that we're going to, Father and I will come and make our abode in you. Right? Our abode. See, Jesus was very focused on abiding together. The community, the fellowship, the connection, the covenant, the returning back to the Garden of Eden. And I think it's even actually better than the Garden of Eden, because we know what it's like to experience the garbage in our life and how good God is. Amen? That's why I think when we're on the other side and we're in heaven, we can just praise God so much that, you know, angels haven't experienced, nothing else have experienced. We have experienced the fall and we came out of it with God. How amazing is that? So again, you know, it's we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We are committed to him. You know, just too many people, they bash the byproducts of the Holy Spirit, right? Like the gifts of the Spirit. You'll hear people that just, well, that's, it's a byproduct of the Trinity, part of the Trinity. I remember hearing some religious folks, we talked one time, and they're like, well, are you into that Holy Ghost stuff? Excuse me. It's almost like saying, are you into that God stuff? Or are you into that Jesus stuff? It's like, the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. Where does that, how is that not? First Corinthians 6:19, last scripture here. Amen. Sorry I'm putting you all to sleep tonight. Abiding, while you're turning there, it means to accept, act in accordance with, live, or dwell. We're going to live in him. Religious, again, a lot of the religious folks, religious mindset is, I go to church, I do this, I do my thing here, and I go home. Like it's like we're punching a clock. It's all the time, right? I mean, you don't just go home on Sunday and then go sleep in the woods somewhere, right? You go there all the time, wherever your home is. 1 Corinthians 6:19, what? You know, do you know not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? Are you not your own? You know, if we're born again, the Holy Spirit is living within us, whether we recognize him or not. How many Christians go all week and not acknowledge? Try that with your spouse or your kids. Let's see what happens there. Right? Don't talk to them all week and just on Sunday or Saturday or, you know, for a couple hours. How you doing? How's everything going? Okay, great. All right. I had a grandparent who was like that. You talk to your mom, like, yeah, okay, okay, all right, you do it. Okay, bye. Okay, and that's why I don't know a whole lot about it. Because he never said anything, right? You got to spend time with people to get to know them. You know, one of the greatest things that I ever had in college, my undergraduate, was I had a, it was like an interpersonal communication class I had to take for one. And one of the things was I had to interview someone from, like, my grandparents. And I had a chance to interview some of them, but without getting into detail. The cool thing was I found out so many things about them. Like, my grandfather, I mean, since I was a kid, he told me about World War II. And, I mean, he bought his first Model A for $20. And, I mean, I'm like, I learned so many things about him because I took the time to ask him. I'm sitting there thinking, how many times have I been in your house and you never told me any of this stuff? Right? My other step-grandfather, I had a chance to interview him too, as well. And I'm like, I didn't know you were in a Nazi concentration camp. When did you not? Why? Because I asked. I took the time to ask and to find out. God wants us to ask him things and to talk with him and to share things, right? Our prayer time cannot consist of, God, I need this, and 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 if you don't do it by noon tonight, noon tomorrow, I'm toast, right? You give the Christmas list and the things you need and goodbye. God's like, what? What about me? Because remember, we're made in his image, right? And how would you like somebody all the time? I need this, I need this, I need this. Father, we come before you. We thank you for this time together, Lord. I thank you for these precious people, Lord God, here and those who are gone tonight, Lord. We pray for protection over them. Lord, we give you glory and honor, and we thank you so much for your goodness and your word. And Holy Ghost, we thank you so much for your ministry, and we give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, hallelujah. Amen. We're all welcome to, I don't know, some goodies there. And by the way, it's all fat-free when it's in church, so it's okay. You don't need to worry about it. Christmas and Thanksgiving and church events, it's all fat-free. Amen.